Good morning, church. Good morning. It's great to be with you today. There's nothing like being at home with home church family. As Pete has said, and we've said in the last few weeks in this series, we want to look at some real life things that are going to affect people. If we ever talk about anything slightly sensitive, we will give you the church equivalent of a government health warning in advance so you know and so you're prepared. And so maybe slightly younger ears, we can move them somewhere else so we don't do anything inappropriate. But I really believe, and please, friends, let's go on a journey with this year and into the future. If the world is talking about something, the church needs to get there first. We need to be setting the culture conversation. We need to be in charge of it. People need to know what God says. Let's not skirt around the issues. Let's, especially thinking about our children and people growing up, they need to know what God says about stuff. The Bible says don't murder, but I want to murder anxiety in this church. I'm going to kill it stone dead. Good? Maybe that's one thing. It says do not murder. Maybe there's a caveat to that. Let's get rid of every bad thing that God doesn't want in people's lives. Amen. Will you turn with me, friends, to 1 Peter 5, verse 7? I'm going to read from that in just a second. I'm going to tell you what anxiety is, and then we're going to look at how to deal with it. And then I'm going to give you what I hope is a real practical example. I really felt God speaking to me, God moving in the first service. Can I encourage you, before we start, please listen in. Please, this is practical stuff. This is not just theory, this is practical as well. Can I encourage you to take some notes, take pictures of the screen if it helps? If you don't, can I encourage you to go back in a day or two and listen back to the podcast or on our website? Because this, I think there's some real practical stuff in here. I can only take credit for bits of it. Most of this is straight out of the Bible. And I really believe, friends, that rather than needing to feel like we've got to either manage our anxiety or just go to a doctor about it, I believe God has given us all the tools we need to get rid of it in Jesus' name. Sometimes God will work through a doctor or help us with it, but the tools are there. So let's use them, and I'll give you them this morning. Anxiety, the NHS says, is a feeling of unease, such as worry or fear that can be mild or severe. I don't think they meant for that to rhyme. Worry or fear that can be mild or severe. Everyone has feelings of anxiety at some point in their life. For example, you may feel worried and anxious about sitting an exam or having a medical test or a job interview. During times like these, feeling anxious can be perfectly normal. And maybe one or two nerves in this situation, as long as they're not out of control, are okay. But some people, the NHS says, some people find it hard to control their worries. Their feelings of anxiety are more constant and can often affect their daily lives. Anxiety is the main symptom of several conditions, including panic disorder, phobias such as agoraphobia or claustrophobia, post-traumatic stress disorder, also known as PTSD, and social anxiety disorder, also known as social phobia. Another source, a medical source, says this: fear and anxiety produce, and this is really important, fear and anxiety produce similar responses, but for different reasons. This is part of the reason that we spoke on fear last week and anxiety this week, looking at them as two different things. They're very similar, but they have different, and often have similar effects, but they have like a different root cause, okay? This is what it is. Fear and anxiety often occur together, but these terms are not interchangeable. Even though symptoms of fear and anxiety typically overlap, a person's experience with these emotions differs based on the context. Now listen to this, this is important. Fear relates to a known or understood threat. Like I'd feel fearful if a big dog was coming at me and wanted to make me its dinner. That would be fear. Fear is relates to a known or understood threat. Whereas anxiety, this is what anxiety is. Anxiety follows from an unknown or poorly defined threat. So just get this in your head. Fear is something that we can know about really obviously, as in that thing wants to eat me for its dinner. But anxiety is kind of a less well-defined, a poorly known sometimes, but general feeling of unease, of worry, of these sorts of things, okay? Fear, well-known. Anxiety, not so well-known. Anyone ever feel a little bit anxious and you think, I just don't know why I feel on edge or I feel wrong? Can I just say at this point, I am someone who has lived through anxiety in my life that has virtually crippled me. In fact, there was one point in my life I was actually, I think, this far away from a nervous breakdown. Had I not been reconditioned, actually, it was my good friend Gebhardt Berndt who helped me on this journey of getting back to health. My main problem was, I wouldn't trust in God. but I do now, and it flees. I'll tell you how in just a second. So remember, fear, well-known, anxiety, not so well-known. Fear and anxiety produce similar responses to certain dangers, but many experts believe there are important differences between the two. These differences can account for how we react to various stressors in our environment. Muscle tension is one of these things. Muscle tension, increased heart rate, does this relate to anyone? Shortness of breath mark the most significant physiological symptoms associated with a response to danger. These bodily changes result from an inborn fight or flight stress response thought to be necessary for our survival. Without this stress response, our mind wouldn't receive the alerting danger signal, such as that big dog, and our bodies would be unable to prepare or flee or stay and battle when faced with danger. Anxiety is accompanied, it says in closing, by many uncomfortable somatic, so physical sensations. Some of the most common physical symptoms of anxiety include headaches, muscle pain and tension, sleep disturbances, tightness felt throughout the body, chest pain, ringing in our ears, accelerated heart rate, shortness of breath, numbness or tingling, depersonalization or derealization, feeling like you're going insane, or dizziness or feeling faint. There are quite a number of other things, symptoms of anxiety. We've looked, friends, at what anxiety really is. That's what it is. I've named it. And I think it's a pretty unimpressive thing. It's not something that should grab hold of us. And it's something, in Jesus' name, it is my conviction, we can see go from our lives just like that. Okay? I'm going to show you how you can cast your cares on Jesus. The Bible says this, 1 Peter 5, verse 7. Can I just remind you? Don't ever think, oh, God doesn't care about this stuff, or this problem has come from God, or God can't help me in this stuff. I have to look elsewhere. Go here first, and it'll go, if you really trust. I'll show you how. 1 Peter 5, verse 7 says this. Cast your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. I don't normally go to the J.B. Phillips version of the translation of the Bible, but I might do it a little bit more after going through this. I've been through it occasionally in my life, but it says this. You can throw the whole weight of your anxieties upon him, for you are his personal concern. How about that? So think about it like this. When you worry about something, God is sat there, well, wherever he is, everywhere. God is there thinking, I don't like the fact that my child is worrying. Have you ever, parents in the room or people who've got, you know, kids that you love, do you ever see them worrying or stressing about something? Your heart goes out to them, you think, I don't want them to feel like that. That is exactly how God feels about you when you're feeling anxiety. God takes it personally. He's like, I do not want them to worry. But there's an important response that we need to make. Just get in your mind that word cast. That's what we need to do. The charity Anxiety UK says that anyone can be affected by anxiety, no matter their race, their background, their social status, anything like that. And there has been a recent increase reported in anxiety among young people. This is why I'm going to be doing a separate session with the youth at some point fairly soon, because we've got to get our young people standing on truth, not pushed down by anxiety. And there's a likelihood of increase at the minute between the ages of 16 and 19. We need to kill this and stone dead among our youth. Wouldn't it be great if people see Christians just going out there, facing all the same stuff, but with a different mindset, with no anxiety? Wouldn't it be great if people say, you know, people who go to Life Church or elsewhere, they just don't seem to let anxiety get on top of them. You might think, no, that can't be me. Well, it can be you. You need to listen. You need to plug in this morning. I would love that. You know, the disciples who became the apostles went to death, weren't worried, weren't scared. Paul wasn't scared of death. He was actually, in a way, well, I'd rather die because I want to go and be with Jesus. We don't need to live anxious lives, friends. I think the church needs to stand up and not just support people through this, but say, yes, I want to support you through this, but I am not going to, I'm trying to be kind in this, and Jesus is kind. I'm not going to say to you that it's right for you to live with anxiety, because God has got so much more. Amen? Please talk back to me. It'll build my faith so I can tell you better stuff. Wouldn't it be great to say that we are people who can live beyond anxiety? That doesn't mean it won't come back, but when it does come back, we can cut the head off it and kill it stone dead, yeah? It's interesting that, to me, this is my own observation, that anxiety is seemingly increasing as knowledge of so many things in the world continues to increase. Perhaps the definition of anxiety is a poorly defined threat, as in something we just can't tell what it is that's bothering us, that's causing this anxiety, is where it's at. Many people, perhaps maybe, today are living in a place of great knowledge, but they're scared because they're scared of something they can't perceive. They're hoping for an answer to their problems, but they can't see it. They can't see it. They can only see danger, but they don't quite know where that danger is lurking, which corner it's lurking around, nor do they know what that danger actually is. I believe that we can know the root cause of anxiety and what it is, perceive the danger, and kill it stone dead and eradicate it from our lives. As a side note, if you want a great piece of wisdom from Jesus himself, you can read even today, is in Matthew 6, 25 to 34, where Jesus says, do not worry, and do not worry for these reasons. Worry is futile. Someone once said, worry is like a rocking chair. It gives you something to do, but it doesn't get you anywhere. Oliver Wendell Holmes, that was it. What is the reality, friends, of anxiety for us? I'm calling you friends because that's what you are. There's the reality of what anxiety is or could be to us, and there's the reality of what anxiety will be, as in a past thought, once we've spoken faith into our future. Speak faith into your future. Please don't go around and saying, I'm a person who lives or experiences anxiety. Just say, I'm a person who, when it comes knocking, I tell it to get lost. I kill it stone dead in Jesus' name. Does that sound good? That sounds great to me. I've done it and I've seen it. And all this stuff works, by the way. I've seen it work. Pete told me a story yesterday when we were out on our way to go out walking. He told me this story about how anxiety went from his life. Really good. You need to tell that story more, Pete. He's out there, isn't he? Often there's the fear of death, there's the fear of criticism, there's the fear of failing health, there's a fear of exposure of weakness. Fear, almost always to some extent or another, immobilizes people, brings them into bondage, a place, a prison. A spirit of fear, friends, I want to tell you, is never, ever, ever given by God. Never. Never, 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 never. Don't ever think if you feel fearful, or maybe God's making me fearful. I can tell you why. I can tell you why. I have scriptural evidence for this. Fear never comes from God. Never, 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 never. 2 Timothy 1, verse 7 says, for the spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us love, power, love, and self-discipline. Power, love, and self-discipline. Philippians 4, verse 8 says, 6 to 8, it says, do not fear, and then think upon, when you feel fearful, think upon these lovely things. Love, joy, peace, all of these good things. God has not given us a spirit of timidity or fear, but he's given everything that we need to conquer it should it come knocking at our door. Everything. Simply, and this is a good takeaway point, fear or anxiety are to Satan what faith is to God. Fear and anxiety are to Satan what faith is to God. Because there is no fear in God's perfect love. What we perhaps need to do, rather than just asking the fear to go, is realize how much we're loved. Because it says in 1 John 4, verse 18, perfect love casts out all fear. What will anxiety do? This is a big government health warning. It's a Christ-like health warning. What will fear and anxiety, what will anxiety do if we leave it unchecked? Let it run rampant in our lives. I believe it will become like Japanese knotweed. Starts from a tiny little thing, but ends up getting a particular house to a point where you can't sell it. Who knows that people will not buy houses that have Japanese knotweed in them? It grows like wildfire. And anxiety will do the same if you leave it unchecked, if you let it run riot. I've seen this. I let it. It started very small, but it went bigger and bigger. It started with a thought, got bigger and bigger and bigger. Bigger and bigger and bigger. Quite often that we will fear man. It says in Proverbs 29:25, and it's backed up in Galatians 1 verse 10, fear of man is a snare. What's a snare? It's something to trick you, to trap you, to knock you off balance. Knock you off balance. But someone who trusts in the Lord, it says, and trust, that word trust, I've had to learn to trust all over again. They're kept safe. Fear can also, as well as fear of man being a big thing, fear can cause us to forget God. Has anyone ever been fearful and you almost forget what God can do? think about, if you're not sure about that, if that challenges theology. It's because I was talking to someone about sociology yesterday. Think of the parable of the sower in Matthew 13. What's one of the things that happens to the seed? The worries of life come and choke the seed away. It's as if it was never spoken. And you kind of like end up cowering away and God can't get in. Fear can cause you to forget God. What happens when fear comes in and almost snatches the word out of your heart? I believe you don't have to be like that, because the first thing you need to do when you're worried or anxious, fearful, pray. Tell people I'm feeling like this. Go to God's word and say, what do you say about me, Lord? It says you're on top and not beneath you, the head, not the tail, everything like that. Fear can cause us to forget God, so just don't let it. Pray, even if you don't feel like it. Some of my best prayers have come when I've not felt like it. I believe, in short, it is wrong for the Christian to look upon anxiety and say it's a good thing or it's a thing I should live with. I believe anxiety, when it comes knocking, should be so repellent to Christians, just so almost disgraceful, because it is in direct conflict. It's diametrically opposed to who God is, because fear doesn't come from him, and who he says we are. Fear and faith should not exist in the same body. Should not exist. I don't want, it's my division and my desire for not one single person in this church to experience anxiety. Not one. That is one of my greatest desires for all of you. For people who are not here, for people who are in the first service. Every single person connected with this church. And with God's help, we won't. 1 Peter 5 verse 7. Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. You are his personal concern. Romans 10 reminds us, it says, what does it say? The word is near you, it is in your mouth and in your heart. This is the message of faith we're proclaiming. I saw some, well, they weren't actually technically mountains, but they looked like mountains yesterday. They were very big hills. And I looked at them and I was like, when you see anxiety coming into your life like that mountain, you need to speak to it and expect it to go. Expect it to go. Have an expectation, faith-filled expectation that it will go. You need to address it with faith. You need to do it even if you don't feel like it. Maybe you need to ask for some faith and then expect to see a difference. The word that is used here in 1 Peter 5 verse 7, cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. It's only used, I can't remember off the top of my head, whether it was 6 or 7 times in the New Testament. So it's not a frequently used word. What it literally means, when you study what the word means and kind of the word in context, the word in action, it means, when it says cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you, that word cast means, and I'll show you a demonstration in a minute, it means to bundle up, not just one at a time, throw things to God occasionally when they come up. It means to take every single thing that makes you anxious, all of your anxiety, 100%, and throw it at Jesus. He'll catch it. It's no longer your concern. But the thing is, friends, we have to do the casting. It doesn't say Jesus will take it all away from you. It says Jesus will take it all away from you if you cast upon him, if you give it to him. All your vague worries, even if you can't perceive it, just say, Lord, this feeling of anxiety, I'm giving it to you right now. Not only can he take, his shoulders are broad enough to take all your anxieties, he wants to take them from you. Remember, he's your personal concern. He says, give them to me and I'll take care of them. Reminds me so much of my mum when I was a little boy and you had a sweet in a wrapper. She'd take the wrapper from me straight away. She's like, you don't need to deal with that. That's what he does. He doesn't want you to be burdened. He doesn't want you to live a life of anxiety, timidity, fear, but love, joy, peace, faith, a sound mind, self-control, every good thing. So Philippians 4 verse 8, think on these things. When fear, anxiety come knocking, think upon these things. Anxiety is not, and this is a big thing, anxiety is not a load we can bear for long without serious side effects, especially in the long term. You might be someone who has felt crippled by anxiety at some point. We can learn to live with anxiety and manage our anxiety. That's a big thing. But I believe that it's completely out of step with God's word. Completely out of step. I don't believe we should manage our anxiety. I believe we should cast it out. I don't believe in churches we should entertain demons. I believe we should cast them out. Yeah? We have a willing heavenly helper at hand, and he wants to take this off us. The word cast all your anxiety on him. I've said it's not a regularly used word, but that same word, the original Greek word, was used in Luke 19:35. Those of you who know your Bible really well, if I just said to you Luke 19:35, you'll be thinking, oh, I know that bit. That's the bit where Jesus is about to ride into Jerusalem on James's favourite animal, the donkey. That's what you'll be thinking. You might have missed that preach earlier on in the year. Who knows that Jesus was about to climb onto this donkey, but there was no saddle? What did they do? They needed a makeshift saddle. What did people do? They cast their cloaks onto the donkey so that Jesus could sit on the donkey and enter the city. You think, oh, that's great. That's nice of them. Who knows here? But this has been said in this church recently. Who knows that back in those days, in that time, a person's cloak was normally their most valued possession. And normally people only had one of them, unless you were really well off. People normally just had one cloak. One. Think about what your most valued possession is, or what it could be. And Jesus said, cast that at my feet right now. Would you do it? Because that's what these people did. I mean, it wasn't even a thing for... They didn't even give it to Jesus as a present for him to treasure. They gave it as something to sit on. Right? And they just gave it to him. The way I read the scriptures, they just got rid of really quickly, almost without a moment's thought. A cloak back then represented someone's dignity, sense of personal pride. It was also in a very practical sense, because who knows that in the Middle East, that part of the world, it tends to get very cold at night. They need, like, perishingly cold. Like, you know, summer in Scotland. Who knows that they needed that cloak in order to keep them warm at night? Could you imagine if Jesus said, in the depths of winter, cast your central heating on me, give it to me, would you do it? I think you'd think about it first. These people didn't. They just gave it to him. Their nighttime shelter, their dignity. It's also interesting, if we track back just one verse in 1 Peter 5, it says, before it says, cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you, it says, humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. And then it says, cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. I think that's a lesson for us, that we need to humble ourselves. We need to come before God and say, Lord, I know you alone can do something about this. And I know that I can't, and I know I need your help. People these days don't like humbling themselves before anyone. I know people who would have to be virtually forced to bow or acknowledge Her Majesty the Queen if she came into this room right now. We have to humble ourselves before God. Could you imagine going back to the cloak, giving up your most prized possession? That, what a sacrifice. They did it without a moment's thought. But they seemed to do it because they knew there was something bigger at hand. The king needed to enter in. What's more, to fulfill scripture, he needed to enter in on a donkey. He needed to. That's how it said he'd come hundreds of years before. He'll come in riding on a colt. Giving up your most prized possession just so he could sit on it. Think about that. Friends, let's ask ourselves the question, what do we need to give up or remove from our lives in order to see anxiety flee? Some people, let's just be honest for a moment, some people have an anxiety addiction. Some people quite like their anxiety. Maybe you've had it so long that kind of all you know. I actually found anxiety a little bit addictive because it's how I learned to live. And I had to kind of rewire my brain. What are we afraid of losing, though? We're not even supposed to cast it, our anxiety, piecemeal, occasionally, and I think he says, cast all your anxiety, every single thing on him, because he cares for you. It says in Psalm 55:22, it says, cast all your cares on the Lord, and he will sustain you. He will never let the righteous be shaken. Great promise. Friends, are we prepared to give all we hold dear onto Jesus? Are we prepared? You need to ask yourself that question this morning, and don't put off until tomorrow what you can do today. Remember, tomorrow never comes. Can I encourage you, and we'll pray for you at the end if that would help. Cast your anxiety on him. Let's kill this thing stone dead. And every time, once you've done that, if and when anxiety starts to creep back into your life, you know what you need to do. Get rid of it. Cut the head off it. Just say in Jesus' name, be gone. This is not my portion. Maybe Jesus, you don't feel God's presence as fully in your life as you could or as you should because you've not sufficiently cast all your anxiety on him. Maybe, or simply, if we can cast the best everything, all our anxiety on Jesus, could it not be, friends, including our anxiety, could it not be, if we ask him to deal with it, if we cast, could it not be that he will ride into our lives fully just like he did that day to Jerusalem? Could it be? Could it be that you will feel God's presence to a new extent? Or for the first time? There's a promise for us in 1 John 4:18. It says, perfect love casts out all fear. The word cast there is a different word. It's the Greek word ballo, B-A-L-L-O, with a little circumflex on it, or whatever it's called. It means it's a different type of casting. It's not just a take it all to him. This word ballo, as in when it says, where are we? There's no fear in love, but perfect love drives out all fear or casts out all fear. That word means a vigorous thrusting. You need to vigorously thrust what you don't want towards Jesus. No, again, friends, we need to do the casting. I'm going to show you how we'll do that in a minute. We have to do the casting. The promise is there. He'll take it, but we need to give it to him. God doesn't enter our lives without our consent. We need to ask him once we've cast, and he'll take it from us. Some people, even Christians, are saddled with anxiety because they won't trust God with it. And he wants to take it from you this morning. And will you let him? If you look back at the Old Testament, there was a man called Gideon. And he was fearful. And he cast his anxiety and his fear upon God. And he received peace. But no, he had to do the casting. I believe there is a five-step process. You might want to write this down. A five-step process to casting your anxiety on him. Step number one, we need to recognize that we have anxiety in our lives or fear or whatever it may be. Step number two, we need to humble ourselves. Only God can take this, but he can do something about it. Step number three, we need to trust God that he can take it. Step number three, we need to cast. And step number four, we need to trust God that he can take it. Step number five, we have to repeat. Because anxiety will come back, but when it does, you'll know what to do with it. You'll know what to do with it. Remember, the tactics of the enemy are normally pretty predictable. He doesn't have a wide range of different ways of getting at you. He has a set number of tactics. When you can continue to encourage you, when he comes to get you, repel him in Jesus' name. So remember those five steps. It's four in a way. Recognize, humble, cast, trust, repeat. Recognize, humble, cast, trust, repeat. Recognize, humble, cast, trust, repeat. If you keep doing it, anytime anxiety comes knocking, there won't be anyone there. I'm going to do a little demonstration just to show you how to cast just before we have a final song and close our service. Jenny, would you come and be my glamorous assistant for a moment? I'm going to have to get rid of the microphone for this bit, so I'll just have to... This is how you cast all your anxiety on him, okay? First, I'm going to show you how not to do it, and then I'm going to show you how you should, okay? You see how you're meant to do it? Can I encourage you? That's how you do it. Cast all your anxiety on him. At one point, anything you are feeling, give it all to God in one go. I don't know why I'm out of breath. I climbed a mountain, nearly a mountain yesterday. I should be nice and fit now, shouldn't I? Can I ask the worship team to come back? You need to when anxiety comes, you need to recognize it for what it is and cast it out of your life. Remember, you need to do the casting. You need to do the getting rid of. You need to do the saying, I'm giving this all to God. He's not going to take it unless you give it. I kind of wish he'd just take it, but, you know, actually, in a sense, that would be destroying our free will, would it not? Because, you know, God is saying, if you want to live with anxiety, then that's your choice. But I don't want you to. I don't want you to. When you were a kid, this is not confession time, you don't need to raise your hand, but you will know in your own heart if you did. Did you ever play a game of knock, door, run? Yeah. I did. I always used to pick a house that was near a corner and didn't have like lots of steps up to it. So like, say, a terraced house that came right onto the street, near a corner, we go, tap, tap, leg it round the corner. Did you ever play knock, door, run? I did. I'm really ashamed to say, but I did. It was part of a small part of my childhood. The reason I say that to you is there's once a story told. It said this, anxiety knocked at the door of someone's life. If you open the door of your life with anxiety and like, oh no, I'm going to be pressed down, my life's going to be ruined. What do you think is going to happen? Anxiety is going to answer and anxiety is going to hurt you and anxiety is going to get to you. But if anxiety knocks at the door, because let's face it, I'd be lying to you if I said it wouldn't at some point. Even once you got it rid of it from your life, it'll come back at some point. When anxiety knocks at the door of your life and faith answers, you will open the door and nothing will be there. It will be like that game of knock, door, run where there's no one there. You'd be like, something just taps at my door and there's no one there. Friends, when anxiety comes calling, open the door and receive it with faith. And I promise you there'll be nothing there. Promise. If you receive it with faith. But you really need to believe it. Can we stand and we'll sing a final song? And I'm going to pray for us all. And at the end, Pete will give you an invitation. I recognise this is something very personal. It's very close to home. It takes some guts sometimes for me to say, I've suffered with this. I've suffered this to real extents where it really began to have an effect on my health and my life and my family. But, you know, when you start addressing it with faith and you start trusting God, it'll go. And I don't believe we should say it's a good thing for us to keep in our lives. I think we need to cast it out in the name of Jesus. One fell swoop. One quick transaction. It's exactly like in... You don't see them so much these days. You know, you used to see those adverts. It says if you're in debt, rather than trying to pay all of these different creditors, collapse all your debts into one easy monthly repayment. Friends, collapse all of your anxiety into one thing and cast it all upon Jesus. And it will be gone. Anxiety knocked at the door, faith answered, and no one was there. Call out your anxiety for what it is. I was going to say treat it with the contempt it deserves. Treat it with the faith it deserves. It deserves nothing but faith and it will go. I'm going to pray for you and then at the end, Pete will give you an opportunity to, if you'd like us to pray for you that this stuff will just be gone from your life, we'll do that. By the way, someone came to at the end of the first service and just said, oh, well, by the way, I was going to come forward for prayer, but you were praying with someone. And I said, just hang around. I'll notice you. We'll get to you. Just said, can I be next? If there are one or two, if there's a little queue, don't worry. Father, thank you for all these precious people. And I pray, Lord, in Jesus' name, anxiety will be seen for what it is. We'll treat it with the faith it deserves. And we'll get rid of it in Jesus' name. Amen.